Last week, we started talking about just Ground Zero and our heart for Ground Zero, and we talked about three things that we want students to encounter in Ground Zero this year. Three things we want students to encounter. Number one is a face-to-face encounter with the real Jesus. We want them to meet, to see, and to encounter the real Jesus. You've probably been to a church service or a part of a church event where you felt like there wasn't a lot of Jesus there. Right, and you think, man, I didn't get much out of that, or maybe I didn't feel like I saw Jesus in a lot of that. And we want students, when they come into Ground Zero, to encounter Jesus, not to see a preacher, not to see a band, not to shoot pool or basketball, but to see Jesus. And we know that all of that, what we talked about last week, all of that is bait. We don't fish without bait. Jesus called the disciples to be fishers of men. We use that to draw them in so that we can present the gospel to them. The second thing is we want them to know God and know others. We want them to know God and know others. When you find out who God is, you'll find out who you are. Your identity is hidden in Jesus. It's not in your job. It's not in your marriage. It's not in your kids. It's not in your bank account. It's not in the square footage of your house, right? The newness of your car. Your identity is in none of those things. Right? Your identity is in Christ. And as you get into the Word of God, you'll find out who you are as you discover who Jesus is. And then listen, your child cannot do it alone. Statistics say that 75% of high school graduates walk away from their faith. 35% of those, so about half of those, come back later in life. Okay, so for them to be successful and not walk away from their faith, they say the best thing for them is other Christians. Other Christians. They say that if you'll go to church and read your Bible and pray at home, that number drastically drops. Just from reading the Bible, praying at home, and having your kids in church. Having them around other Christians, right? They got to know God and they have to know others. The third thing is we want them to confess and believe. This comes from Romans chapter 9, verse 10. And our ultimate goal is to lead students to Jesus, to bow to him as king, right? We want to make it hard. We want to make it nearly impossible for this generation to go to hell. We want to make it absolutely as close to impossible as we can for them to go to hell and not know Christ. Right? I don't want to get to heaven and see somebody from Swisher County, Castro, Briscoe, right, any of the counties around here, and they say, well, hey, man, I didn't know about that Jesus. I never heard. Right? We don't want that to happen. We want to do everything we can, everything in our power, everything we can through the Holy Spirit to make it hard for this generation to go to hell. And we want to purge hell and we want to flood heaven. Right, and we want them to confess and believe. And the way we do that is by presenting the gospel. The way we do that is by everything we just said, them having that face to face. And so today, I want to talk about your part to play. Your part to play in all of this. Listen, complacency will kill your faith quicker than anything. Complacency. Now, what is complacency? Complacency is where you're happy with what you have done. You get to a place that you feel like I have done it. You know, one of the worst things about traveling anywhere with children, right? We've got seven, four, and three. The worst thing is are we there yet? That is the absolute worst thing ever. You know, and you don't get out of Swisher County and they say, are we there yet? No, we just left our county, right? We're barely out of town. You know, you're going to like to Red River, like 6-hour drive, you know, San Antonio. We did San Antonio. So we went to Red River this summer. And so we saw this hack on TikTok where you take sticky notes and you write down like, you know, your 5 hours, your 4 hours, your 3 hours, your 2 hours, your 1 hour, you're there. And then you remove those stickers. And it's supposed to help your kid not ask, are we there yet? And so Annie didn't ask, are we there yet? She said, can I take that sticker down? No, you got 45 more minutes. About 10 minutes later, can I take the sticker down yet? No, you've got 40 minutes now. You can't take the sticker down. But right, they want to know, are we there? Right? And as a church of our age, one of the things that happens is we feel that we have arrived. We have done it. Pastor's talked about it, how all his dreams have come true, exceeded his dreams. I don't know exactly how long ago we built this building, but Coffee Bar used to be where we had church. There was no window for the Coffee Bar. That was a wall, and there was a stage there. And Pastor would get up and preach, and the front row was called the spit zone because you were so close. When he got excited, he'd spit on you, right? And that's where they had church. Then when I was a kid, they built this building. And, I mean, Dad's talked about it, how, you know, they thought, we'll never fill it. You know, there's too many chairs. We'll never fill it, right? And now we have two services. This is first, and we're going to have another one after this. And then in September, probably go to our third service on Thursday nights, right? And so it's easy to move into complacency because, like, man, we've done it. We've made it. We've arrived. But Jesus has not come back yet. There's still lost people. There's still hurting, broken, bitter people in the world. There's kids that fill our schools that are lost, that are hopeless, and that don't know Jesus. And we are not close to being done unless Jesus comes back this afternoon, which would be awesome, right? But complacency can easily kill your faith because you think, man, I've done it. Listen, we're not spiritual consumers. We are not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors. It's so easy to come into church and want to be fed. Feed me, right? And we can move into a consumeristic mentality. You are not a customer at church. You're not a customer, right? The coffee bar is run by volunteers. They don't get paid. We do that to raise money for kid and youth ministry. And so you can step up there and think in your mind, I'm not a customer. Right? In this moment, I'm giving to a fundraiser. Right? So how I treat those people matters. Right? Because I'm not a consumer. I want to be a spiritual contributor. I want to contribute to this. Listen, the church does not exist for us. Listen to me. The church does not exist for us. I'm going to say it one more time so you get it. The church does not exist for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, or you. Right? Turn to the other one that you don't like that much and say, you either. Listen, the church does not exist for us. We are the church and we exist for the world. We are the church and we exist for the world. We're talking about three ways that you can be involved, three ways to play, three ways that you can get involved. And number one is prayer. The first way that you can get involved is to pray, is to pray. And this is doing spiritual battle on behalf of the church. Spiritual battle on Wednesdays for Ground Zero. Maybe you can't be in this building on a Wednesday night. Maybe you can't be in the game room and lounge. You're not able to, your schedule, whatever. But what you can do is you can pray. Maybe you can't be at Power Kids. Maybe Wednesday nights just aren't available to you. But you can pray. The first way, and this should be absolutely all of us. No one should be exempt for this. None of us should not be praying for church, praying for our pastors, praying for the staff, praying over our volunteers. Every one of us should be praying. Ephesians 6:18 out of the Amplified Bible says, with all prayer and petition, pray with specific requests at all times, on every occasion, and in every season, in the Spirit. And with this in view, stay alert with all perseverance and petition, interceding in prayer for all God's people. We should constantly be praying specific prayers, right? Interceding in prayer for all of God's people. When we're in this room on Wednesday night, we need your prayer. The leaders need your prayer. The staff need your prayer. The devil, your enemy, does not want students to have a face-to-face with Jesus. He wants to do everything he can to distract that. He wants to do everything to you on Sunday mornings to keep you from encountering God, because he doesn't want it. Because he knows the reality, if you realize who you are and who you belong to, how dangerous you become. If you realize and have a revelation of hell, right, and of heaven, and of eternal life forever with Jesus, and how this life is a vapor, you become too dangerous. So he has to keep us blinded. The Bible says that the prince of the air has blinded the world, right? He doesn't want you to see. Because if you realize, right, you become too dangerous. And so what I want to encourage you with is to pray for all of God's people. Constantly be praying. And we're going to turn to Acts 26. And in Acts 26, Paul is having an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Jesus says in Acts 26, 17, he says, I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles. Verse 18, to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. Now, if you don't understand the Old Testament, this verse doesn't mean much to you. But he tells Paul, a Jew, right? Pastor just did a series on the covenant that God cut with Noah with the rainbow, and then the covenant that God cut with Abraham, right? I'm going to create a nation, right? Stars in the skies, many people, right? Remember that story, right? And that was the Jews, that was the Hebrews, that was the Israelite nation that God set apart from mankind for himself, right? Unless you are Jewish, you are not a part of that. You can't decide to be a Jew. Not how it works. You're born into it. That is it. Right? You know, people will say, well, we got to keep the feast, or we got to keep the law, or we got to do what the Jews did. You're trying to go to a party you're not invited to. Okay? You can't do that. I can't just keep the feast and say, oh, I'm a Jew. Nope, sorry, you're a Gentile. Right? And according to the Jews, we were dogs. Okay? That's how they thought. And then God tells Paul, who's out killing Christians, hey, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. What? 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 Yeah. And then I just love this verse so much. He says, to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. They'll receive forgiveness of their sins and been given a place among God's people. See, you're set apart by faith. By faith, by your faith in Jesus. See, this is exactly what we should be praying on Wednesday nights. So you should pray, God, I pray that you open their eyes, they turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to you, that they'll receive forgiveness of their sins, and they'll be given a place among your people. Right? That's what we should be praying. There's a story in Acts 16 about a woman named Lydia, and I don't have time to give you all the details around where they were and all that. But if you want to look into that, go to Acts 16, and they're preaching the word of God, and it's Acts 16, 14. It says, one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer of purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. I want you to notice this. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. So Paul's preaching, and the Lord opened her heart. Now, she was already a worshiper of God. She was not, you know, a sinner, right? She was walking in the direction of God, okay? You remember, some months ago, but Pastor talked about walking towards God, how we need to walk in God's direction. And as you do that, it says that God will open your heart, that God opened up her heart. This is another thing that we need to pray. God, open the hearts of the students. Open their hearts that when someone steps on that stage and reads a verse, sings a song, preaches a message, does anything, that their hearts are open. Charles Spurgeon was a great pastor in the 1800s, and he was in England, and there's tons of books you can get today from Charles Spurgeon. And I want to read you a quote of something that Charles said. He said, if sinners be damned at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. If they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let no one go unwarned and unprayed for. See, this is that revelation, right? That revelation of eternity, of heaven and hell, of light and darkness, knowing that I don't want to let anyone, any student, any child, any family go unwarned or unprayed for. See, the thing that we all need to be doing is praying. If you're on the YouVersion Bible app this morning, I've included a prayer in there that you can pray. If you don't have a phone or you're not on the app, I have them printed out at the red desk on a card. It has that logo right there on the back of it. You can grab that card and take it home. And I've printed out a prayer with the three things we want the students to encounter. You can take that home and you can pray that card for us every single Wednesday. And you don't have to stop at the card. You can keep praying what God puts on your heart. It's on social media, on all of, you know, Facebook and Instagram and Twitter as well. And you can find it there. And you can pray with us. And it just makes it easy where you don't have to sit down and try to come up with something. The other thing I want to add to this is you can pray for us, and our service in Ground Zero starts at 7:30 right here in this room. And I want to encourage you that if you know all of our volunteers that are in the room, you'll be in the room with us. But if you're praying for us, I encourage you to come be in the room with us. Be in the room with us to pray with us, to spiritually be here as a guard, to spiritually be here to be active in prayer, to worship with us, to listen to the message with us, to take notes, right? To spiritually be present in the room to do battle. Because the enemy wants to show up and to distract, disrupt, and keep the kids distracted from what God's doing. And I want to encourage you, some of you, many of you are going to serve, you're going to be cross street, you're going to help, you know, with drinks and smoothies and food and hanging out with kids and being out in the parking lot and shooting basketball and doing all that awesome stuff. But if you're like, I can't do that, I don't have the time, work, whatever, 7:30, I want to encourage you to be in the room. You don't even have to do it every single week, but come be a part, spiritually be present. The second thing that you can do is you can serve. Now, obviously, we're talking about Ground Zero this morning, but this includes everything. From you can serve at Power Kids, you can serve in nursery, you can serve on the security team, you can serve in the sound booth, right? You can serve in the nursery, you can serve on Wednesday nights in Ground Zero from about 6 till 8:30, we do nursery. Right, for all of our kids and all of our leaders' kids. And you may think, I don't like teenagers, don't want to be around them. Hey, I could use help in nursery. We need some help in nursery every single week. And all of our leaders just keep having kids and they won't stop, right? And so, you know, we finally get to a place where we're like, okay, Brooklyn and Avery are growing up. They're finally in Ground Zero. And then Jason and Brittany have another one. It's like, all right, you know, James and Jacob are helping. And so you know what that means. There's lots of kids, right? Right? And there's lots of kids. And they just bring extra kids with them. We're like, we picked up a few on the way here, right? And so we always need help in nursery. And you can serve all over. Listen, you don't need to go to church for more than about 6 months and not be helping somewhere. Right? You shouldn't go to church for more than 6 months and not be helping somewhere. You should be involved somewhere in church. You've passed the point of, I don't have to bring anything to the table anymore. Right? You've got to bring something to the table, and it's time to serve. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve, not be served. It's not about me being served. Listen, my whole desire as a Christian is to be like Jesus. That's the whole point. I want to look like him, right? I want to act like him, talk like him. When people talk to me, it's almost like they encounter Jesus because of his presence on the inside of me, right? And we're all terrible at it, right? We all just stink at it, right? We all fight and we all, you know, argue and we don't get along and we're just terrible at it, right? But my whole desire is to serve, not be served, right? I want to be a spiritual contributor, not a spiritual consumer. I want to contribute something and not just take, right? And there's so many different areas that you can get involved, right? The church does not exist for us. You are the church and you exist for the world, right? And we have to serve and we have to step up in our serving to help. Matthew 9:36 in the Amplified, it says, when he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion and pity for them because they were dispirited and distressed like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus is moved by the crowd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is indeed plentiful, but the workers are few. Every pastor in America relates to that verse. The people are here, but the workers are few. Right? The harvest is plentiful. The verse before, what is it? He's moved. He's moved to compassion. Why? Because he felt sorry for them because they were dispirited and distressed. And it says that the harvest indeed is plentiful, but the workers are few. Verse 38, so pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. Right? Every farmer relates to that verse. Can't find truck drivers, right? To pick up grain. There's nobody here to work, right? Is that not the biggest complaint since the beginning of time? You know, this generation just doesn't work. They don't know work like we did. We walked uphill in the snow in July to school every day. I don't know how it was uphill every day and why it was snowing in July, right? Right? But we think, man, nobody works. And what does Jesus say? He tells the disciples, hey, guys, pray. Pray. The harvest is plentiful. Pray to the God of the harvest. Pray to Yahweh that he'll send workers into the harvest. Listen, we pray for you every single week. Every Wednesday, Pastor and I come into this room and we have prayer over you. We pray over our community. We pray over the surrounding communities, those in charge, over our schools, over government. We pray over everything, right? And we come into this room and we pray for you. And so I want you to know that you're being prayed for, and then you pray for us, right? You pray for this. You pray that volunteers would rise up, that leaders would rise up. You be that person and lead by example, right? And we need you praying, and we need you helping, right? Because the church does not exist for me. I am the church, and I exist for the world, to reach the world, to reach the lost, to reach the broken. The third way is to give. First is to pray, two to serve, three to give. Now, these by no means encompass every way that you can be involved in church. I would say they're the big three, right? But this by no means encompasses. And I know anytime we talk about money, it can be very offensive. And it can be a tough subject, and people don't really like to talk about it, and people don't like to hear about it. And it can be tough to get up and ask you to give your money, right? And in the world we live in right now, everything's more expensive, right? The housing economy, groceries, gas, right? Everything's more expensive. I saw a video the other day of what $100 will buy you worth of groceries today compared to like 10 years ago, you know? And it's like 10 years ago, you were getting a lot of more groceries for $100 than you are today. And everything's more expensive. And a lot of times what happens is in your finances, usually giving is the first to go. If you're giving to anything, those are usually the first things you cut out, right? Maybe if you're putting money into a savings account, you cut that. It's like, we can't save any money. We need that money. And I want to encourage you that we can't do what we do without your generosity. We can't do what we do. And what giving comes down to is trusting God. It comes down to trusting God. And I want to show you some scriptures just about giving. I want to try to, in the few minutes I have left, to just show you some things on giving. 1 Corinthians 16:1 in the Amplified, Paul is speaking, and he says, now concerning the money collected for the relief of the saints in Jerusalem, you are to do the same as I directed the churches of Galatia to do. On the first day of every week, one of you is to put something aside in proportion to his prosperity and save it so that no collections will need to be made when I come. So Paul writes him a letter, and he tells the church in Corinth, hey, well, here's what I want y'all to do. Take some money, set it aside in proportion to your prosperity and set it aside now so that when I get there, we don't have to take up an offering, right? So nothing has to be collected. Go ahead and already set it aside. Right, I went to Bible college, and one of the big things that they pounded was, as a Christian, when I get paid, the first thing I should do is take my offering out. I should take that out, right? And we know that you might get paid on Monday, not be in church till Sunday, and we know with online giving and text to give, there's many different ways that we can do that. But it's important to set that aside first, right? And to put my faith in God first. And then I love what he tells them. He says, in proportion to your prosperity. Right, it should be in proportion. The Old Testament talked about giving 10%. Now, there was other giving that they were required to do, to use the temple, to offer a sacrifice, and it actually bumped their giving to about 23% if they did everything like they were supposed to. Now, the Old Testament talks about 10%. In the New Testament, it gives no number. It gives no number of what we're supposed to give. But right here, Paul is telling the church in Corinth, hey, give in proportion to your prosperity. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Right, so in the verses before, he says, give in proportion to your prosperity. Right, and in this verse, he says, give what you've decided, that you decide. Now, I would encourage you, for those of you that maybe don't give at all, I would encourage you to pray. Go to God about it. Right, those of you that maybe give a little here and there when you can, I would encourage you to pray and go to God about it. For those of you that maybe give regularly, you have recurring giving set up, or you automatically give, I would tell you to pray and go to God about it. Why? Because complacency will kill our faith. And we can get in this habit, this ritual of doing a thing, and we have no purpose behind it. We have no faith behind it. Now, I want to encourage you, don't give because you think you're going to get something back out of it. The Bible says tons about how God's going to bless you and take care of you. But this is not the lottery. You're not throwing money in hoping that you're going to cash in on the heaven jackpot. I want to ask you that, think about if you gave for the rest of your life 10% of your income, and all you ever got out of it was people saved. People saved on Sunday, people saved on Wednesday, people saved in your workplace. That was all. That was it. The question to ask is, would I still give? Would I still give? Right? And only you can go to God and find that out. Right, only you can go to the Father and say. Now, the Bible says, we just read right there, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Right, he is going to bless you, and it will be undeniable. But here's what I want to encourage you with in your giving. As we move into this new school year, go to the Father and ask him, God, what do you want me to give? How much do I need to be giving? Right? What does that look like for me this year? Maybe you've been giving great. Go to the Father. God, hey, maybe you've just moved into complacency. Maybe you don't need to give a dime more, but you just think, man, I'm not putting my faith into this. I'm not believing something for this. And when you give, I want us to agree together that as we give into the kingdom of God, that we would see souls, that we would see a harvest, that we would see revival, that the students in Ground Zero would have such an encounter with God that it would break out of these walls and it would go into our schools, into their homes, and into the county. That the same thing would happen on Sunday, the same thing would happen in Power Kids, that revival would happen, and let's tie our faith and let's not move into complacency. Because the church does not exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. And the three things that you can do is pray, serve, and give. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you that we would encounter you today. Father, that we this isn't about us. Father, that we wouldn't be spiritual consumers, that we wouldn't view ourselves as customers, but Father, we would be spiritual contributors, that we know that we are the church and that we exist for the world and that we would bring the light of Christ everywhere we go. Father, and I thank you that as your children step out in faith and give into your kingdom, Father, that you bless them, that they would have everything that they need so they could continue to abound in good works. Father, that we would reach this city, we would reach this county, we would reach the surrounding counties with your love, your grace, your mercy, your provision, that they would, their eyes would be opened, that they, their hearts would be opened, and that they would receive the message, and that they would submit to you as Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, why don't you go ahead and stand to your feet?